You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, flying solo today. My usual co-host, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, is not available as I'm recording tonight, so I'm solo today. I'm going to talk hardly at all about the Dodgers today, maybe touch on a couple Dodgers-related things, but mostly I want to talk about Ian Desmond and his statement on Instagram that covered a lot of topics. I could probably take each paragraph and do an episode about them. We could have the next 3 weeks of content covered, but I won't do that. I'm just going to touch briefly on a few things from his awesome statement. So that's the plan for today. First, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Okay, first things first, one little bit of Dodgers news is that apparently the Dodgers are paying their minor leaguers. I just saw it pop up on Ryan Mosley, who is a Dodgers minor leaguer. He just tweeted out, "Dodgers are paying us through the end of August," which is awesome news. They had only been committed to paying through the end of June, and obviously that's coming right up. And so there was a little bit of concern. I was always confident they would do the right thing. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but seemed like they would, and they are. They're paying them through the end of August, which is when minor leaguers get paid through anyway. The minor league season ends around the end of August. So basically, Dodgers minor leaguers will get paid for the whole season that they normally would have. Obviously, there's still other issues about minor league pay, but in that case, you know, compared to what they'd normally make in a regular season, they're going to do okay. So that's great news. Good on the Dodgers for doing that. Hopefully, things can get better for minor leaguers in the future. On Monday, word started trickling out about some people who are opting out of the season. We've been saying there's going to be plenty of them. Some of the bigger names, Ryan Zimmerman for the Nationals and Joe Ross for the Nationals, both of them are opting out. I know there's some that I missed too. I wasn't on Twitter all day, so I didn't see all of them, but Zimmerman's an interesting one. He's not young anymore, but he did say he's not planning on retiring. He doesn't think this is it. He just, for this year, he's opting out. And like I said, there's others, but the most notable one, notable not necessarily because of the player, but because of the way he did it, was Ian Desmond of the Rockies, formerly of the Nationals. Ian Desmond put out a statement on Instagram. He captioned it, "On my mind." And then it was 9 frames in Instagram screenshotted. And just it's outstanding. If you haven't read it, you should do it. His Instagram is I_DEZ and then the number 20, IDEZ20. Go check it out. It's so worth reading. And like I said, it covers a ton of topics. He doesn't get until the very last frame is when he says, "Oh, by the way, I'm opting out." The rest of it is about, you know, it's about what's going on in the world right now, but not even specifically. He does mention George Floyd by name. He mentions that situation specifically, but he talks a lot about just growing up mixed race in America, and it really hit me just reading it. You know, this is one of those things that has become a political thing, unfortunately. I do believe that every decent person who saw the George Floyd video was outraged and knew that it was wrong. And I wish that at that point, everybody had been able to come together instead of pulling apart. And I don't know what the answers are. But I do believe that every decent person who saw that was outraged. And, I don't think there's any question that those officers deserve to be prosecuted. That guy shouldn't have been a cop still. You look at his record over the years, he should not have been a cop. He should have been weeded out in the academy, or at the very least over the 20 years of his career with all the complaints and everything. So, you know, there's definitely some changes that need to be made there. I don't know what the answers are, and I'm not going to get too much into that, because I do think I think a lot of intelligent, decent people have differing opinions on this, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay to have differing opinions. But, you know, you see statistics and people saying only X number of unarmed black men were killed by police last year, blah, 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 those numbers. Well, you know, I haven't fact-checked. I don't know if those numbers are true. Even if they are, what we have is we still have a country where black people feel unsafe with the police. And there's a reason for that. And so I don't know. I'm a white man. I live in a predominantly white area. I didn't grow up in a predominantly white area. I was one of, you know, I don't know, at my high school, maybe there were more white people, but I would guess white people made up about 40, 45% of my high school. I grew up around people of a lot of races. But I understand that it's a different situation and a different, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but people of color live a different life than I do, and they have different fears and they're well-founded. My best friend, and I'll probably talk about my best friend a couple times in this episode, because when I get back to Ian Desmond, my best friend is black, or more specifically half black, not African-American. He's from Brazil. His dad is a black Brazilian. His mom is a white Brazilian, and they moved to the U.S. when my friend was about 10 years old. And, you know, looking at him, you would think he was black, but he's actually faced, people refer to him as fake black because he, you know, isn't African American or whatever. He's faced it from both sides, actually. He's not white enough and he's not black enough. But one thing I do know is, you know, his skin is, he looks, if you didn't know his background, you would assume he was African American. And he gets pulled over a lot more often than I do. And I promise you, he drives a lot slower than I do. I am not known for my speed limit obeying. And he's a pretty diligent speed limit obeyer. And he still gets pulled over more than I do. It's a little thing. And he hasn't been attacked by the police. He hasn't been shot, but he has been pulled over. You know, that's it's in something that needs to be dealt with. There are things in this country that need to be dealt with. I don't know how. I'm not sure that what's going on right now is the best solution. And I definitely think that you can have a strong opinion that what's going on right now isn't the right answer without being a racist. I don't think that makes you a racist. But definitely things need to change in the police system, in the way black Americans are treated, whether it's by the system, quote unquote, or by other individuals. And so Ian Desmond talks a lot about that, about growing up mixed race and kind of that same thing I mentioned with my friend of not being black enough and not being white enough. And it's heartbreaking to read about. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about Ian Desmond's statement in just a minute. First, I'm contractually obligated to talk to you about Postmates. Luckily, I like Postmates. It's pretty cool. So we'll talk about it quickly. Postmates, anything you need, if you don't want to go out, which is perfectly reasonable in this time, or if you just can't go out or you're just lazy, whatever it is, just download the Postmates app on your phone, iOS or Android, and, download Postmates and order what you want. They'll bring it to you. It doesn't have to be from a restaurant. It can be from a grocery store. It can be from 7-Eleven, whatever you need. Postmates can get it for you. And if you download the Postmates app and you promo code Locked On, you will get $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So download the Postmates app, promo code Locked On, $100 in free delivery credit your first 7 days and keep it locked on Dodgers. Okay, before we jump back into Ian Desmond, let's talk about our obscure former Dodger of the day. And because I'm talking about Ian Desmond, I went with the first Dodgers pitcher Ian Desmond ever faced in 2009 when Desmond was a rookie. His ninth game of his career came at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers won 14-2. Desmond played the whole game, and his first two at-bats came against Hiroki Kuroda. He flied out to center and then popped out to second base against him. Hiroki Kuroda, I don't know how obscure he is. I remember him really well, but at this point, I mean, he only pitched 4 years with the Dodgers and then three with the Yankees, and he was solid. He was nothing amazing. He actually ended up with a 41-46 career record with the Dodgers. Was actually only above 500 one time, and that was 2009. But he was a good, solid pitcher and pretty consistent. He had a 3.45 ERA with the Dodgers and a 3.44 ERA with the Yankees. 113 ERA plus with the Dodgers, 117 with the Yankees. Consistent. He had come over from Japan. He had pitched in Japan for quite a while before that. He spent about 11 years with Hiroshima in the Japanese League. Was very good there. Went 124 and 105 with a 3.55 ERA in those 11 years. He actually went back to Hiroshima after his major league career. So a total of 13 years. Anyway, Hiroki Kuroda was a good solid Dodger in 2008, 2009, which were good seasons for the Dodgers. And after 2011, he was released and or granted free agency, signed with the Yankees, finished out his major league career there, and then went back to Japan. And he is our obscure former Dodger. But now let's get back to Ian Desmond. Other things in his statement, Desmond talked about going down to his old Little League field in Sarasota, and just being heartbroken to see it's just not the same. And there aren't the opportunities for kids to play baseball. He talks about his own experience playing baseball growing up, the safety he felt from coaches, the camaraderie he learned. He also talks about some of the negatives of his high school teammates chanting white power and just being totally oblivious to the fact that there were a couple of black players on the team. And talks a lot about a lot of different things that, whatever your background is, I can only speak from my experience. I grew up white in America. I never had to deal with that sort of thing. I've actually been hit in the head with a 2x4 because of my race, but it is different. It's when a person is racist towards me, it's different than a whole lot of people being racist towards you all the time. And so, but I think about what he talks about with how expensive it is to play baseball. And you could tell reading Desmond's statement how much he loves baseball and that it breaks his heart that it's not a game that kids grow up playing anymore. And that breaks my heart too, honestly. It's, I spent this evening, Monday evening, at my son's baseball games. My youngest son is playing in the City League, just its first year of kid pitch. He's 9 years old, playing. They keep score, but it's, I don't know. I think there were like three balls in play in this game. It was all strikeouts and walks, but then my older son, who's 13, he's playing in a super league. He's actually on two teams right now. And he had a league game tonight. Good, solid game. There was some ups and downs. He was frustrated with himself after the game. He was playing right field in one inning, and there was a fly ball that ended up dropping between him and the second baseman. And he was telling me after the game, he's like, "Dad, I've been trying to be more aggressive on defense, and that was a perfect opportunity to be more aggressive on defense, and I didn't do it." And I've been telling my son so much, like, this is why you play sports, because you learn to deal with disappointment. You learn to improve yourself. I told him, I said, okay, if you want to be more aggressive on defense, use this moment to fuel that desire. Next time you're playing the outfield, go out there and say, I'm not going to let another one drop in front of me like that. I'm going to go get it. And then you go get it and you learn from that. And, I've told him just a week or two ago, I was talking to him and I said, Logan, you're probably not going to make the major leagues. If you want to, I hope you do. And I will do everything I can to help you get there. But The reason that I'm paying money for you to play sports is so you can learn all the things that sports teach you. There was a game, he's playing on two teams, like I said, because of COVID, the seasons got pushed back. So they're trying to fit in makeup games and stuff. And so we were a little bit on the fence about playing on two teams anyway. It kind of, we kind of got backed into that corner. We didn't intend for that to happen. And then with COVID, like he's had games where he's had seven games or weeks where he's had seven games in a week, plus the five practices for the two teams combined. And so, I mean, he is literally, every day he either has a practice or two or a game or two. And, you know, and there was one day where he was just worn out and he said, Dad, can I just skip my game tonight? And I said, Logan, it's up to you, bud. But here's what I want you to know. You signed up for the teams. We're on these teams. I know we didn't really want to be on two teams, but this is what it is now. And there's going to come a time in your life when you have a job and there's a project that's due and you have a very important part of that project that needs to get done and you're not feeling great. And you're going to have to suck it up because you know your coworkers are counting on you, your company's counting on you. I said, this is why you play baseball. You are learning that life is not all about you. It's about being a teammate. It's about working hard. It's about fulfilling your commitments, all those things. You know, cheesy dad stuff. I'm a cheesy dad, but I believe it's really important. And reading what Ian Desmond had to say, I thought, yeah, it's sad to me that kids aren't playing baseball. I'm biased. I love baseball. I think baseball is the greatest sport. I know kids are playing other sports, and I know you can learn lessons from other sports. I don't believe, and like I said, maybe it's because I'm biased, but I don't believe you can learn the lessons as well or as many lessons as you can with baseball. Baseball by nature, you know, basketball is, it's a great sport. I was never any good at it. It's the only thing I ever tried to do that I couldn't even become passably good at. I just sucked. But basketball is more of an individual sport, even though you're on a team. You know, you watch that Michael Jordan documentary, you see how one player can dominate and how even just personality-wise, Michael Jordan just dominated. Football, there's, you know, different positions do different things, but it's just not quite the same. But baseball, because everybody has to take a turn at bat, because you can't control who the ball's hit to. You know, it's much more, you can learn so much more about teamwork in baseball. And so it's sad to me that kids aren't playing baseball as much. And the reason, unfortunately, well, at least one of the reasons is because it costs more. To play basketball, all you need is a basketball. There's basketball hoops everywhere. You go down to the elementary school, there's a basketball hoop. You know, there's city parks, wherever. You can play basketball with just a basketball. And you can get a basketball for $15. But in baseball, you need bats and balls and gloves. And, you know, you need a bigger field. You need all these things. And it's just not quite the same. And I think about when I was growing up, I played Little League. And that was definitely a big part of it. But we were also playing wiffle ball in the street every day. My brothers and my neighbors, we were just out there every day. I remember we took a big piece of plywood and we like wrote standings on the plywood and stuff. And we made like a backstop and we were playing wiffle ball every day. And we were playing Little League and playing, and then played through high school. I didn't play beyond high school because of arm problems, which was fine with me, or eventually was fine with me. But you know, for me and my friends growing up, and like I said, I didn't grow up in a very white area and definitely not a rich area. I mean, we were dirt poor and all my friends were dirt poor. But we all played baseball growing up and it kept a lot of kids out of a lot of trouble. It, you know, some of my friends actually went on to play in college and stuff. Nobody ever really made it big, among my friend group, but it seems like it's not that way anymore. And that's sad to me because baseball is the greatest sport. And basically what Ian Desmond says is Major League Baseball should be doing something about this. And they're trying. They have RBI Baseball, reviving baseball in inner cities, the youth program. And I don't know what the answer is, but I feel like, one of the things Desmond points out is how much it costs to play. And that's something, like I told you, my son's playing on two teams, and I get it. It is, and we paid thousands of dollars this year for my son to play baseball. Not everybody can afford that. I'm thankful that we can afford that, you know, or that we, you know, parenting is all about sacrifice. You make the sacrifices to afford what you need to afford. And so we made the sacrifices so that Logan could play on these teams. We'll do the same for Ryan if that's what he wants to do. You know, all our kids have activities that cost money. My daughter, it's guitar lessons. Currently, is there so many different things, and you make those sacrifices as parents. But not every kid is in a situation where they have parents who can make those sacrifices, or even if they do, you know, not every parent can afford it, even if they're willing to make those sacrifices. And that's a problem. You know, kids need to be able to play baseball. And, you know, that's the part that really struck me the most about Ian Desmond's post, was the stuff about kids playing baseball, because that's so important to me. I wish it was more important to baseball owners. We've talked a lot the last couple of weeks about the commissioner and the owners and how short-sighted they are just with this whole labor dispute. And Desmond talks about that. He says, I'm going to read this a little bit. He says, he talks about a guy named Dick Lee, who had been the president of the Sarasota Little League or something, a guy he knew growing up. Says, if what Dick Lee knew to be true remains so, that baseball is about passing on what we've learned to those who come after us in hopes of bettering the future for others, then it seems to me that America's pastime is failing to do what it could, just like the country it entertains. Think about it. Right now in baseball, we've got a labor war. We've got a rampant individualism on the field. In the clubhouses, we've got racist, sexist, homophobic jokes or flat-out problems. We've got cheating. We've got a minority issue from the top down. One African-American GM, two African-American managers, less than 8% black players, no black majority team owners. Perhaps most disheartening of all is a puzzling lack of focus on understanding how to change these numbers. A lack of focus on making baseball accessible and possible for all kids, not just those who are privileged enough to afford it. If baseball is America's pastime, maybe it's never been a more fitting one than now. And that's, you know, for me, if every owner, these owners, remember, they are billionaires. And I've said before, that doesn't, I'm not automatically against them just because they're rich. I think rich people can do a lot of good for the world. I know a lot of them have. I know some of them are monsters, and that's how they got rich. Not all of them, though. And so I'm not against these people because they're rich. But if they could just look into the future and see that they need to be building the future of the game right now. And, you know, if every owner said, okay, this year I'm committing $50 million. $50 million each times 30. Do you know how much that is? I think I do. That's $1.5 billion. Did I do that right? Yes. $1.5 billion. Wow. That took longer. That's a whole lot of money. And so I got to get my calculator out. I'm not sure if that's right. Yeah. $1.5 billion. And you could imagine how far $1.5 billion could go if it was all focused on making it affordable for kids to play baseball, whether that's building stadiums, building more fields that kids can go play pickup games on, buying equipment, you could imagine a system. I don't know how it would work, but, you know, imagine a system where there's a field that has equipment there that, you know, even if you're hiring somebody and, you know, you pay somebody just to, you know, not their full-time job even, but somebody's job is to be there in the afternoons so that to dish out equipment so kids can play pickup games. How awesome would that be? You know, there's liabilities, there's, you know, waivers that have to be signed, I'm sure, but I think these problems could be solved. You could figure them out. I don't know what the answers are. I'm just saying, if these owners were interested in building up the future for the next generation, not just black kids, I'm talking all kids, because every kid should grow up playing baseball. But like Desmond said, the black kids right now are inordinately affected because, you know, just where they're growing up a lot of times, their family situations, whatever it is, they are the ones who are gravitating towards other sports, basketball and football especially. and they need to be gravitating towards baseball, and ownership should be trying to figure out how to make that happen, because the future of the game will be better if the next generation of LeBron James and Cam Newton and, you know, whoever else, instead of playing basketball or football, they want to play baseball. Like, how awesome would that be if all of the best athletes in the world, if their first choice was baseball? For those of us who love baseball, that's like my dream of having all the good players playing baseball and let, you know, get baseball back to being America's pastime. And, you know, I'm aware that if you have more black players, that's fewer, a higher percentage of black players means a lower percentage of some other race. But guess what? If all the best players were, all the best athletes of every race were wanting to play baseball, they could expand. You know, we could have 40 teams. There's plenty of athletes in America to have 40 major league teams if everybody wanted to play baseball. You don't have to exclude anybody just because you're including others. And that's the big thing. So, you know, this has been rambling. I'm sorry. It's more serious than I usually am. But it just really hit me when I was reading Ian Desmond's statement. You know, even me, somebody who I've had very few of the same life experiences that Ian Desmond has had, but some of the stuff really hit me. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I agree with that. And so, like I said, if you haven't read it, go read it. I only touched on a small percentage of it. He talks about a kid he met in Washington, D.C. when he was playing with the Nationals, who was involved in the youth program, who Desmond met him when he was 12, and the guy ended up getting murdered when he was 18. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. It's a great statement. I_DEZ and then the number 20. That's his Instagram handle. Go check it out because it's awesome. So my hat's off to Ian Desmond. I've always respected him as a ball player. You know, he played really well with the Nationals. He hasn't been as good with the Rockies, but, you know, he seems to play hard, enjoys baseball. You can tell his love of baseball in this statement. And I just have so much respect for him just speaking out on this in a way that's really heartfelt and personal. And I hope that I haven't said anything the wrong way in this. I'm always hesitant because these are experiences that I don't know about firsthand. And so please forgive me if I've said anything wrong, but understand that I want what's best for, I want people to live their best lives. And I don't think a person's race should be an impediment to that. And to the extent that it is, I think it needs to be fixed. And especially when it comes to baseball, I think everybody should be playing baseball. Every kid should be growing up learning these lessons that baseball can teach us. My last thought about my best friend, like I mentioned, you know, it's weird to me. So he and his wife have 5 kids. 2 of them are their biological children. And so his wife is white. And so their 2 biological daughters are 1/4 black and 3/4 white. And they both kind of have, one of them, especially the younger one, has a long straight black hair, and her skin tone, you might think she was Latina. The other one, her hair, you can tell that she has some black in her. But then they have 2 adopted daughters and an adopted son. The adopted daughters are both African American. The adopted son is white. And so they have a whole mixed bag of different races at their house, and it's awesome. I'm so glad that my kids are growing up with them. You know, they just refer to them as their cousins. They know deep down inside that they're not actually related, but we don't care. And I just want people to have that experience of just people being people, and not worrying about the color of the skin. And I know that that's not realistic right now. And for me, it's not that the skin color doesn't exist. It's that it, you know, it's an attribute, but it's not a value. That's kind of the way I see it. You know, a person's race is not a positive or negative attribute about them, but it's absolutely something about them. It's an important part of their culture. A lot of times, definitely their life experience. And so you can't just pretend it doesn't exist, and you wouldn't want to. But I'm glad to have them in my life. You know, that's my closest friend, happens to be black. I obviously have a lot of white friends and a lot of other black friends too. My best friend growing up was Mexican. His parents were both Mexican immigrants, and he was so dark-skinned, a lot of people thought he was black. And so he got racism on the Mexican side and the black side. So it's sad. And let's all be better. Let's all, like Martin Luther King said, judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. And let's just, you know, read Ian Desmond's thing. I have a lot of respect for him. And I think that's all I have to say. Sorry it wasn't really about the Dodgers. It's barely even about baseball, but that's okay. I have a podcast and I wanted to talk about this, so this is what I did. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!